This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
An eerie and haunting final video of a beloved Bay Area coffee shop owner. She vanishes without a trace. Now, very disturbing new clues found inside her home. Where is coffee shop owner Amy Hilliard? I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. The last known sighting of a missing coffee shop owner has just been revealed. This is her family desperately searches for her after she disappears seemingly without a trace. It's a surveillance image showing Amy Hilliard walking her family dog there in the Cleveland Heights area near Oakland, and it's just before she seemingly vanishes off the face of the earth. In the last days, her family has hired a private investigator. What more do we know about the disappearance of this beloved community fixture, Amy Hilliard? Gorgeous, young, successful, very high profile in her neighborhood. Everybody loves her coffee shop. Extremely popular. Never a bad word about Amy Hilliard. The community banding together to have a vigil. She's disappeared days ago, last seen, to my understanding, in a public park. Where is she? Nobody just vanishes off the face of the earth. It's not like we're in Harry Potter and you can apparate somewhere else. That doesn't happen. Somebody knows where is Amy, joining us an all-star panel. But first, I want to go straight out to Brian Fitzgibbons, Director Operations, USPA, Nationwide Security. He leads a team of investigators that go around the world searching for missing people and performing extractions of missing people. Former Marine Iraqi War vet. I hate it. Hate when someone says they just disappeared. Like it's a vanishing act. That's not what happened. And don't even start with the typical down the road of, she's a woman, she's probably with her boyfriend. Do not even let the words boyfriend or new boyfriend or alone time or me time or girls trip come out of your mouth, Fitzgibbons.
I won't. And what I'll say that, you know, this case is particularly alarming because of the time of day that Amy Hilliard went missing. She was last seen at her home around 2 p.m. and then, according to reports, was seen on surveillance footage around 4:30 in Diamond Park in Oakland. Now, what's concerning here is she left behind her phone at her house. So this is very atypical behavior for a missing persons case.
Very creepy and very scary, and it's, you know, like I think it happens in every neighborhood, but it's also like frightening to think that someone just disappeared from here. And I really like hope that she's okay. I hope her family is okay.
Her husband Chris shared that one of the things that defines Amy, one of her favorite words, is the word hope. And so tonight we're expressing our hope that we find her. Please review your video cameras for evidence of her walking past your home. She loved hiking. She loved walking. It's very possible that she could be on that video.
She'd be the one jumping in, volunteering, leading volunteers, talking to other people in the community, spreading the word, using her talent to help, like, bring community closer together. It seems crazy that she's not here tonight with us.
From our friends at KGO and KRON, Dave Mack with us, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Have you seen Diamond Park? It's gorgeous. It's not like some field of weeds off by the industrial park. This is a very well-manicured, well-lit park. It's popular. A lot of people go there. It's really hard for me to believe. She's last seen there at 4:30 in the afternoon, daylight hours, right? Not 4:30 a.m., 4:30 p.m., right?
That's correct. Nancy, what's fascinating
about... Have you seen the pictures of this park?
Yes, it's incredible. It's a familiar place to everyone in the area. But Nancy, here's the part that really comes into play. We know that Amy was at her home neighborhood around 2 p.m. She was seen by neighbors outside with her dog. Then we have 4:30 p.m. where she is seen on surveillance video in Diamond Park. There's a 2.5 hour window where we don't know where she was or what she was doing, but it would take, it's a couple of miles from her home to Diamond Park. Okay. It's like 3 to 4 miles. It's not a straight shot. Driving time, 10 to 15 minutes. Walking time, much longer. It could take an hour to hour and a half, and not something that would normally be walked. So we've got an issue here of time and trying to build that timeline, but 4:30 p.m., Diamond Park, she is seen on surveillance video confirmed.
Dave Mack, you're saying Diamond Park, right? Not like the jewel, but D-I-M-O-N-D, correct?
That is correct.
Have you seen it? It's gorgeous. And one thing that really jumps out at me is I'm looking at a lot of photos of the park, and there are a lot of kid spots for children to play, like playground equipment. There's redwoods, there are walking trails. It's very densely forested, which is a whole nother can of worms for Brian Fitzgibbons to figure out. There's a creek bed. I don't know if there's water involved, but if there is, I doubt pretty seriously it's white water. They're manicured grounds with walkways. What I'm saying is it looks like an upscale park, a walking park.
As I mentioned, you know, there are surveillance cameras, so it makes an individual feel safe when they go there. That's how we have the video. We don't have it, but they have confirmed the sighting by video of Amy in the park at 4:30. So gives you an idea of what kind of park we're really talking about.
Brian Fitzgibbons, I understand your concern. This is in broad daylight. And if you look at this photo, very well manicured. And the reason I keep saying that is because it leads me to believe that there are surveillance cameras there. Now, yeah. On a remote trail like where Rachel Morin, remember she was on Ma and Pa Trail, and it's not extremely remote. She could drive to it, had a good trailhead with a parking area. But it was more remote than this. If you'll recall, Rachel Morin, a young mom of five, goes missing on a Ma and Pa Trail. And it's a very active trail. Very active. And the reason I say this is I felt at the time that someone should have seen the perp and have seen her go on the trail. Now, she hadn't been killed for long before other hikers come along and find her body. What I'm saying about this case, which is eerily similar, it seems like there are a lot of people there, Fitz. And if you look at the well-manicured nature of Diamond Park, there's got to be surveillance. There has to be rangers. I mean, look at that. It's not like a remote national park hiking trail where there's nobody. I mean, if you think about Ariel Koenig out at very remote and treacherous hiking trail where her husband tried to push her over the edge of a cliff. It was a miracle two hikers came along and saw what was happening before Ariel had her head totally bashed in by her husband. That said, not the same thing here. That's my point. Why didn't anybody see what happened?
Yeah, so there are really two components to Diamond Park. And the one that you just accurately described, you know, we have to believe that there's surveillance footage. It's a densely populated area all around the park. However, extending about a mile to the north towards Shepherd Canyon, there are trailheads that continue into a much more secluded, densely wooded part of the same park that might be referred to as Diamond Park as well. So the question is, was Amy Hilliard walking in that recreation area side of the park? Or was she on these more remote trailheads extending to the north towards Shepherd Canyon, which would cause a much more difficult search?
Dave Mack, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Of course, she was spotted on surveillance video, but I don't know if that video is her going at the entrance, going in, or somewhere within the park. Do we know what we can see in the background of that surveillance video? Have they released it?
Not yet. The video has not been released, and we haven't been given a lot of information about where she was in the park, what she was doing in the park. We don't know if she was, you know, out for a walk on a trail or if she was sitting under a tree reading a book. We don't have a clue right now.
We know that it's characterized by natural hiking paths, trails, redwoods, sometimes very dense. Back to you, Brian Fitzgibbons, USPA Nationwide Security. Tell me again about the other area of the park, not the nicely manicured area, but when it where it goes off into more remote hiking trails.
From that nicely manicured area that we could refer to as the recreation area of the park, you have access to a number of trailheads that extend to the north. They cross over underneath highways and extend north to Shepherd Canyon. Now, that part of the park is much more remote, much more secluded. The terrain is more difficult, and it much easier to hide somebody in there or get lost in there.
Since Amy disappeared, over 200 volunteers have gone all around the neighborhood near the park, asking for camera footage, door cams, anything that they can find. Straight out to a special guest joining us, Dr. Rachel Tolles. Dr. Tolles, clinical forensic psychologist, author of a brand new book coming out, Inventing the Psychopath. Okay, I'm reading that. How a Convenient Myth Makes the World More Dangerous. You can find her at drracheltolles.com, T-O-L-E-S. Dr. Tolles, thank you for being with us. Dr. Rachel Tolles, why is it when here you've got a beautiful and very successful coffee shop owner, everybody seemingly loves her, when she goes missing, everyone acts like she ran off with a man? Why? Why is that? When a guy goes missing, nobody says, oh, he's a big hoe. But when a woman goes missing, it's altogether different.
It is very strange, and it is a double standard. You could argue that maybe some people have this idea on their minds because of the recent Michelle Hunley Smith case in North Carolina, where she disappeared in 2001 and was found alive and well this year. She left when her daughter was 14. But these types of cases with women kind of just wandering off or leaving with a lover usually have a different behavioral structure. And from what's public here, we haven't heard any of these kind of precipitating crisis things or that there was issues in the marriage. We haven't heard that yet. So, but yes, it's a double standard and it's really unfortunate.
You mentioned a mom, I believe she was a mom of three, who goes missing for about 14 years and she's found basically in the next town over. You know why we know about that case? Because it's aberrant. It's unusual. Mm-hmm. It's That's highly right. unusual for a mom of three to go missing and lose all contact with her children. They think she's dead for over a decade. It rarely happens. That's why it made a headline. And it feeds into women disappear because they want to. They want me time. They want to go on a walkabout, a girls' trip. That is so rare. To Joanna Nieves joining us, high-profile criminal defense attorney, founder of the Nieves Law Firm. Joanna, thank you for being with us. Why is this stereotype alive and well, very alive and well, even amongst law enforcement when a woman goes missing? We just assume she's slung up at the Motel 6.
Yeah, I think it's because people are always looking for a reason to place on something rather than, you know, going to the route of, hey, somebody took this person and against their will, you know, she's a mother of two, she's a prominent business owner in the community, they're going to lean towards, hey, was there trouble at home? Was she escaping from reality? Was there mounting debt and a sinking business? Rather than, hey, she's on, you know, on a daily routine maybe of walking a dog or walking about a park and somebody abducted her, because it's less, you know, it's easier to digest that somebody voluntarily left their phone behind so that they can leave their family and their businesses to get away, rather than, hey, this person was placed at risk when she was minding her own business.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Again, in the last days, a renowned private investigator, Steve Fisher, has been hired in the Amy Hilliard disappearance. He's probing foul play. Why? Because of disturbing clues left inside her home. Fisher goes on to say the case is so challenging because no one has been able to trace her last known whereabouts after she suddenly leaves her home. What happened when Amy Hilliard walks out of her front door?
Last seen around 4:30 in the afternoon at Diamond Park. Before that, she was seen around 2 p.m. leaving her home in Oakland's Cleveland Heights neighborhood. People from the Alameda County Sheriff's Office are part of the search along with volunteers. A statement has been issued. There's no recent video footage other than what we have learned about. There was initial incorrect information. We believe she was last seen wearing a white top and jeans, and significantly, that she was alone. To Brian Fitzgibbons, why is it important that she was alone when she was last spotted?
Yeah, it's important to note that there was no one else with her on that surveillance footage, that she was spotted alone, meaning that she hadn't gone there to meet up with someone, at least as far as we can tell from the video evidence. So there is no additional person of interest that investigators can be looking for at this time. That's why this is so important, that this canvas extends to the surrounding residences to find any footage of that could potentially have Amy walking by at that time, so we can see who else may have been following her, may have been with her earlier prior to this captured footage in the park.
Got a question for you. Outside the park, wouldn't that be an issue? For instance, what businesses are there, if any? Can we get video surveillance from there? I would be curious about what interstates are near there, because if somebody has her right now, tonight, and they're on the interstate, they're going 60 miles an hour. Okay, let's just go with that. Every hour, she's 60 miles further away.
Yeah, there's a couple major roads. To the north is Route 13, and to the south, 580, which is not far from Diamond Park. So, you know, you're spot on to say that the egress from that area is quite simple and would be fast. So we have to immediately extend this canvas to that to the surrounding cameras, be they residential or commercial, in and around Diamond Park around the time she went was last seen.
Okay, Dave Mack, tell me about the area outside the park. Of course, the park area and those hiking trails that are densely forested are going to be the first place police look. But outside that, just let's say she was taken outside the park. Let's pretend a vehicle. That is an alternative police have to explore. What's around the park?
You've got, Nancy, there's a lot of access by roads running in and around the area. We are dealing with neighborhoods, you know, family homes. But as you see on the map there is one road that runs along this path that canvases and connects most of these areas. As you look, you'll notice that the park that we started with at Lake Merritt and going to Diamond, there is that one main road, but look aside, all around it's residential area. You've got those huge trees running. As you look there, you've got redwoods all over this area and easy access out of the park on the road, and you're into town. You're heading into Oakland and San Francisco. You're in the Bay Area in a matter of minutes, Nancy. It's not a far off journey from the park into areas of a lot high population.
You know, I'm very curious. When you say it's not far from Oakland, which has a skyrocketing crime rate, how far from Oakland is it?
We're talking 8 to 10 miles. The search has extended into Oakland neighborhoods and major parks beyond Diamond Park, Nancy. That's something that has just been added to this. Remember, we lost three or four of the first of the search time, where the search was focused on Amy Hilliard's neighborhood and Lake Merritt, which was a couple of minutes walk away from her home. 3 or 4 days spent in that area. It was only after they expanded the search and found the video at Diamond Park that the search expanded beyond that. So we lost several days of looking for Amy early on.
Okay, back to you, Brian Fitzgibbons. That is brutal. Did you hear what Dave Mack from Crime Stories just said? Days were lost. Days were lost searching the wrong area.
Yeah, and that, hey, no missing persons case is perfect. So information comes to light, you know, sometimes hours, sometimes many days after the initial report that a person's gone missing. And in this case, it sounds like that surveillance video came in later after the fact, and investigators had to refocus their efforts. Now, what I will say is, from an immediate sense, investigators would be, you know, doing the victimology on Amy. What were her normal patterns? Was this out of the ordinary for her to walk in Diamond Park? Was it ordinary for her to leave her cell phone behind when hiking and going for a walk? Those are things that would have happened regardless of where those searches were taking place, but no doubt crucial time was lost.
This is Amy Hilliard, and she is co-owner of Harley's, which has been greatly expanded. Tell my viewers about this real quick.
We took over Subway, which is always good for a local independent business to take over a chain. And they moved out in the end of September, and we thought this is the opportunity we've been looking for years and years. So we expanded into the new space. We have a proper kitchen. We're doing more food, and we have more space for community, which is what we're really excited about.
From Zinni62 YouTube.
Oakland mom Amy Hilliard disappears after leaving home without her cell phone. She was last seen near Lake Merritt. Her family and authorities urgently seeking information.
The search goes on tonight for a missing coffee shop owner, Amy Hilliard, the mom of beautiful daughters, now begging for their mom's return. Where is Amy? Joining us, an all-star panel. You know, it's very disturbing. Joanne Nieves, high-profile criminal defense attorney, joining us out of this jurisdiction. I don't know if you're familiar with Diamond Park or how it's just minutes away from Oakland, not far at all, which has one of the highest crime rates in the country. Oakland, California, horrific crime rates. Do we think that this park is in a vacuum? It's literally a few minutes away from downtown Oakland. So crime doesn't know jurisdictional boundaries. Crime can go from inner city out to the suburbs where everybody thinks they're safe to this park, just like with Rachel Morin, minding her own business, a mom of five. She's dead off of a hiking trail. So what can you tell me, Joanna Nieves? You practice law all over the state of California. You're based in Oakland. What can you tell me about the area?
Yeah, I think one thing to consider is it's one of those places where you're going to find more seclusion. And sometimes the opportunity is more ripe when there's less hustle and bustle, less people around and moving. You know, when we're talking about a property crime and there's a lot going on, easy in and out in downtown Oakland, right? That's a go-to crime. You can't get away from it. But when you're, if we're thinking about somebody who may potentially have been abducted or harmed in some way, sometimes when you get them in a more remote area, like we're talking about, a part that, yes, it's accessible to the community, but there's these portions of it where you have that privacy and seclusion that may be more opportune for somebody that is looking to cause harm.
Diamond Park in Oakland is located near Fruitvale and also the Laurel District. It's part of a city with a horrible crime rate. You've got a 1 in 11 chance of becoming a crime victim in Oakland. Now, the Diamond District is situated in East Central Oakland, and that's considered more moderate in safety compared to other high-risk corridors in West and Deep East Oakland, but still very high crime rate. And, you know, to Dr. Rachel Tolles joining us, I believe when people, for instance, go on vacation, they're on a cruise ship, they're in one of those all-inclusive resorts, they think they're safe. Mm-hmm. Because you choose to believe you're in this safety bubble, everything's going to be okay. Much the same thing when people go to these beautiful but heavily wooded forests, parks. They see the children's playground, and that automatically signals safe. They see lighting, they see surveillance cams, and that signals safety. I'm safe. And they let their guard down. And really, Dr. Rachel, why not? You cannot live in a constant state of fear and agitation. But this feeling, this false sense of security is misplaced.
I completely agree. And I think that that is exactly what happens in cases like these. We often see people thinking, well, I just want to walk in nature. So maybe I will leave my cell phone at home because I want to unplug. So I'll just go into the kind of a denser area. But of course, that's not wise because it puts you at risk. And then, of course, we hear that she has this undisclosed medical condition. So if she's then vulnerable for that reason or any other reason, that's, of course, increasing the risk.
You know, that's curious, Dave Mack. We hear she has some sort of a medical condition, and it's making the family even more concerned. Is it diabetes? Have you heard? Do you know what the condition is?
No, we have only been told that she has a medical condition, but there has been no definition of what that is. There's no descriptions of what it could possibly be, just that it is a condition that requires attention.
According to our friend Steve Fisher, Amy's family theories on what happened changes. Some days they're convinced she must be somewhere just taking a mental break, having me time, getting away from it all. Then other days they're convinced something horrible happened. She owns the coffee shop Farley's Coffee with husband Chris and her sister, Alexandra. They've launched a website, Bring Amy Home, and they're offering a $25,000 reward for info leading to her return. People suspend concerns for self safety when they go on hikes, when they're jogging, or when they're in, for instance, a bucolic park like this. Everybody does it. I do it, and I certainly know better.
I think you actually nailed it when you said that people can't live in a constant state of fear and looking over their shoulder. And of course, us women, we are doing that all the time from the time that we basically come out of the womb. We're constantly scanning our environments, and that hypervigilance is not healthy. I mean, we know that stress is the number one killer. We just shouldn't be in that state. And the idea of being able to go in nature and take a breath and believe the fantasy that we're all just safe once we enter the woods. It's a nice theory, but it does put us at risk, and especially if we've decided to not take our cell phones.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if she had her cell phone. Dave Mack, do we know?
Yeah, we know that she did not have her cell phone, Nancy.
Okay, I get it. I get it, Dr. Rachel Tolles. We're told all the time to unplug. I was just complaining last night that I'm constantly being texted and called, 24/7, and it never fails. And when I see it pop up, I think, oh my stars, is that about a crime victim? Is that about a case that we're investigating? I have to pick it up. But it's constant. So we're told all the time, unplug, unwind, or you'll have a stroke. But going into a park, I would think that you would have your phone with you. I don't know if it's one of her regular practices to go without a phone, but I'm very disheartened because that's really cutting the odds of finding her quickly. by more than half.
Yeah. And I think that the fact that, from what I understand, the park is quite close to her home, I have a feeling, of course, we don't know yet, but it was maybe a routine. And you get into a routine with your daily practice. And maybe you do. You just think, oh, I've done this a million times. I'm just going to leave the phone. I'm going to go. And you just kind of get into that. And then all of a sudden, you're in a real bad situation. So I really highly recommend that people take their phones. And if they, you know, just put them in your pocket or in your purse or whatever, but just have it with you, because otherwise you can go missing and it'll be very hard to find you.
Brian Fitzgibbons, there is a hiking trail through Diamond Canyon within Diamond Park. That opens up a whole nother can of worms for searchers. Explain. It's rugged terrain.
Yeah, this is very densely forested, rugged terrain, you know, which adds some complexity to this, because in that type of terrain, the likelihood of someone hearing or seeing something, you know, another hiker on the trail, reduces greatly, right? Because of the dense vegetation, because of the canyons, the terrain features. And then naturally, a lot of hikers and runners are wearing headphones in 2026. You know, they're listening to a podcast, listening to music as they run. So the further away from that recreation area that Amy walked, if she potentially did head to the north, the more difficult this search will be.
What can you tell me about the recreation area, Dave Mack? Because that involves parking, that involves people driving in and out. If she was taken out in a vehicle, nobody would think a thing of it. What's at the recreation facility?
Well, you know, you mentioned the area for children to play. That's what they're talking about with recreational. There you go. Pictures like that of you see in a park that actually, to be honest with you, Nancy, when you see things like this for children to play on and basketball goals and tennis courts and swimming pool, all you think are family related activities and a very safe place. It's also mean you see the woods. Well, creates a lot of hiding spots. Now, you mentioned parking. This is right off MacArthur Boulevard, which is a major thoroughfare heading straight into downtown Oakland. And it, you can get on MacArthur and be gone in a matter of minutes, Nancy. So yes, this is a park that has a lot of things for children, families to do, activities, sports, and things like that. And it is easy access from MacArthur Boulevard, which gives you a lot of things to consider when looking for someone like Amy Hilliard.
Maybe someone will see her or has seen her or has a Ring camera video that has recorded her in the last couple days and doesn't know it. But if they just take a look at that recording, they might see that she was on that camera walking on Wednesday, March 25th when she went missing. And they might be able to give us the lead that will help us find her.
From KPIX.
Amy Hilliard classified as an at-risk missing person as customers and employees say her sudden disappearance is completely out of character and deeply concerning.
Evidence of routine. Routine evidence. And I don't mean standard, stereotypical, run-of-the-mill evidence, it's routine. I mean evidence of her routine. She has never not shown up to work. Highly uncharacteristic. She co-owned a very popular coffee shop in Oakland, Farley's. They're at a loss. She's never done this before. What does that mean to you, Dr. Rachel?
I mean, well, I'm sure you probably know this, but the coffee shop itself was named after, I believe, Chris, the husband's great-grandfather who went missing. That's a fact that is just also eerie.
I know that. Yeah. I didn't bring it up because I don't find it relevant to her search,
it's
but
not,
it is an odd coincidence. Dave and I were talking about that right before we went to air tonight. So, Dave, go ahead and explain that. Do I think it's relevant here? No, I do not, but it is odd.
This is one of those stories that's handed down by the family, Nancy. Again, not a lot of documentation back in 1920 as to what took place, but the story of the grandfather going missing, just vanishing into thin air and nobody hearing from him again. sparked enough interest in this family, passing the story down to the point where this entire company, Farley's Coffee, is named after a man who went missing.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Amy's family has hired Steve Fisher and his partner to gather security footage, much like they did in the D4VD David Anthony Burke case when Celeste Rivas goes missing, and to trace her last known steps. Fisher says, "We know on the day of her disappearance, Amy went to a therapist appointment, long scheduled, then took rapid transit home. She texted her husband just before 2 o'clock to let him know she got back home and that her credit card had been charged for a transit ticket. Then surveillance footage catches her taking her dog for a walk, chatting normally with a neighbor, and then returning home. In the video, she seems perfectly fine. She's walking the dog. It was a normal walk, maybe a little shorter, a 6 or 7 minute dog walk just to let her go outside. She actually mentioned to a neighbor that the dog didn't seem to feel like walking. But when her husband got home around 3:15, not long after, about an hour later, the back door was open and all of Amy's things were on the kitchen counter, car keys, cell phone, wallet, handbag. What more do we know about what happened the day Amy just vanishes?
She's the linchpin in a lot of our relationships. She's the linchpin at her coffee shop. She has fed hundreds, if not thousands, of people through her coffee shop.
So this is shocking. I don't know what's happening. We want her home. She loves her family, especially her 2 girls. She loves her business, her employees. She is very passionate in everything she does.
From our friends at KTVU and KGO. Okay, Fitzgibbons, what are authorities doing right now? For one thing, I'm sure they're speaking to everybody in the family, including the husband. Let me just say up front, Fitzgibbons, do not show up on his front porch with a torch and a pitchfork. No, there is no reason to suspect him. However, that's where police will start. But also, we know she left her home alone. So I'm sure the first thing they did was make sure his phone wasn't also at Diamond Park and get his alibi. SOP, that does not make him a person of interest or a suspect.
Correct. And, you know, it's natural for investigators to begin with family and close friends, business partners, for the simple fact that Amy spent the majority of her time and had the majority of her communications with them. So they can learn the most about Amy and her routines, any problems she was facing. Were there financial issues with the business? Was there some kind of threat perceived or real that she was under at the time? And it's important to note that investigators are on the same side of the table as the family in these, you know, opening weeks. Everybody's all in to find Amy here, and identifying these routines and patterns, getting deep on that cell phone and the communications, that's happening now. And then as the days go on, they're going to expand that canvas into the neighborhood, knocking on doors, old school investigative work, to get information and potentially video.
Speaking of habit and routine, I'm wondering, was it her routine to go to Diamond Park to go for walks? I'm wondering, because when you step out of Farley's, from what I can see, you're right on a busy street with a lot of red lights, so you don't get very much exercise in. I'm wondering if that was part of her routine, which changes things, because it seems that people are questioning, why did she go to the park? Why was she there alone? Why did she not have her phone? As if somehow it's her fault. For all I know, this may be her regular workout schedule. Do we know anything at all, Dave Mack, about her regular workout routine?
We do, Nancy. Lake Merritt is very close to Nancy's home. We're talking half mile. And that was the location where Nancy would regularly walk, oftentimes with her dog. So Lake Merritt was where the search was focused, as it is right there in the neighborhood. Now, when it comes to Diamond Park, not so much. She didn't, it was a little bit further away from the house, about 4 miles, not an easy walk to get to. And so not convenient, not something she regularly did. She did regularly walk in Merritt, in Lake Merritt, not at Diamond Park.
The whole thing is heartbreaking and shocking. I didn't get very much sleep last night. Farley's is really a very important part of our community. They've really networked into the community in a wonderful way that she's returned healthy and safe and sound.
We've been friends for at least the last 25 years. She's important in my life. She's an aunt to my children. Her husband and my husband are best friends. They went to college together. She's one of the most important people we have in our lives. When you have a problem, she's generally the first person that you reach out to, which is why tonight it's so important for us to all come together and help her family in a similar way that they've always helped us.
From KTVU and KPIX, you know, Joanna Nieves, a lot of people do not have dozens of searchers, of volunteers out looking for them. Every one of these close friends need to speak to police and undergo forensic interviews. Why?
Because who she was speaking to, the nature of the relationship she had, the background about her dynamics in the community is so critical to giving the law enforcement clues about what may or may not may have occurred in this situation. You know, she left the cell phone at home, but who was the last person she talked to? She was gone for 2.5 hours on a Wednesday in the middle of the day when most people might be picking their kids up from school. So who did she have in her life that would help with those type of things? Did she often take time away from the coffee shop to go on these long excursions? And all of her community members who really know her are going to help paint that picture so that the police don't get tunnel vision just going down one avenue, but they're able to take that, aggregate it, and make a conscious decision about where to target that investigation.
A great window seat where we have a knitting group on Tuesdays. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're really looking forward for all of the community to enjoy it more hours of the day and on weekend long.
It's not an expression. It's just that I'm eating one of the great sandwiches. So, yeah. So you have a look, folks. So 33 Grand Avenue,
33,
right?
And 29 now.
And 29.
Yeah, awesome.
Grand Avenue in Oakland. Come and visit.
Come and visit. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, Thank you. Okay. Take care.
That's from Zenny 62, a vlogger, Zenny Abraham. Wait a minute. You know, everything about victimology is not fitting in. Brian Fitzgibbons, she hosts a knitting group on Tuesdays at her coffee shop. This is not high risk activity. This is not like she's looking for thrills in downtown Oakland after midnight. She's not a drug user. She's not an addict. She doesn't have a drinking problem. She's not prone to high risk activity. This is very, very aberrant, very odd, Fitzgibbons.
Yeah. And this is also somebody, as you said, you know, runs a knitting circle on Tuesday nights, owns a business with employees, is deeply connected to the community, participates in a number of community-based nonprofits. This is not someone who typically would leave on their own volition, which makes this all the more concerning, her disappearance in broad daylight. You know, now on a week has gone by. This is very, very concerning victimology.
Amy Hillier, blonde hair, hazel eyes, 5'4", about 120 pounds. She was wearing a tan-colored top and tan pants. If you know or think you know anything about Amy Hilliard's startling disappearance, please dial Oakland PD 510-238-3641. Repeat, 510-238-3641. As the family is begging for neighbors and beyond to check surveillance video, we wait. As justice unfolds, there is a portal on the Bring Amy Home website for neighbors to submit those videos and tips. Nancy Gray signing off. Goodbye, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.